1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. We're still at Carmel, but the battle at Carmel is over. God has vindicated himself through Elijah. The sacrifice has been consumed by fire from heaven, and the prophets of Baal have been slaughtered. And then we get this. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Now, where does this come from? What's this talk about rain? This is the key thing in all this. If you go back to chapter 17, verse 1, if you go back to chapter 18, verse 1, and now we come to 18:41, you can see that rain is the topic, rain is the issue, all the way through here, through this experience. Ahab is a wicked king. He's married a wicked woman, and she rules the roost. And there's been destruction and turning away from God, destruction of the prophets, slaughter of the prophets of God, the elevation of false teachers, false prophets, Baal worship, Asherah, and I know not what else. It's been a dreadful time of declension and apostasy, the breaking of God's covenant, the rejection of his law. And God has come upon Israel in judgment. He's raised Elijah up in this ministry for judgment. Rain is going to be withheld. Rain will be held off until I say so, said Elijah. Not that Elijah has the power, but God is miraculously working here, withholding the rain. And then at due time, in his appointed time, through Elijah, is going to bestow rain again. The prophets, the false prophets, have been slaughtered. And immediately, Elijah says to Ahab, "Rain, rain." Do you notice the powerful way, the authoritative way, that Elijah, he's only a commoner, you might say, he's only a nobody, you might say, but he's a prophet of God, raised up by God. But do you notice the authoritative way he speaks to this king, this very powerful king? Ahab can take away Elijah's life at a stroke. But Elijah, in the name of God, this is how he's speaking, not in his own name. "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." God had promised it, 18 verse 1. He'd withheld it, 17:1. Now the authoritative promise of it, the statement of it. This is a miracle. This is what this is about. This is a miracle. Elijah is commanding here. He's authoritative. He's powerful. And he's issuing the promise of God. So I ask again, what is underneath all this? Well, we're in the days of the Old Covenant. And very clearly, we're talking about God's judgment and God's mercy. Now, what do I mean? Well, just take, for example, Deuteronomy 28:23-24. And Amos 4, and verses 7 and 8, and go on to verse 9 and on. And what do you see? When God withholds rain from Israel, when the land is dry and parched, this is because God is exercising judgment upon Israel for their apostasy. There is no doubt about it. Deuteronomy 28, Amos 4. The other side of the coin, Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 and 9. When the land has moisture, when the rivers and the brooks and the streams are flowing, when the fields are moist, there is the mercy of God. There is the mercy of God. This is Old Covenant. Rain is mercy. Lack of rain is judgment. Of course, if the rain is a deluge and a torrent and sweeps away things, that is judgment. But in the essence here, we're talking about judgment and mercy. Habakkuk 3:2, in wrath, remember mercy, is Habakkuk's prayer. So what we see here is God turning from judgment to mercy, according to his promise, 18 verse 1, at Elijah's word, because God is with him. And Elijah, in faith, and it's absolutely in faith, the heavens are as blue as you like. They're like bronze. The sun is beating down. There's not a cloud in the sky. But he pronounces authoritatively to Ahab, there will be, I can hear it, the sound of rain, of a heavy rain, even when there's not a glimmer of it in the sky. This is real faith. This is real confidence in God. And it's a miracle, and it's about to break out upon Israel. God in his wrath is remembering mercy. What's the equivalent for us, and what's the application for us? Well, I'm not a prophet. I have no word from God to this point that he says to me, I'm now going to pour out my blessing. There won't be room enough to receive it. You get that, of course, in the Old Covenant. Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. What's the spiritual equivalent? Revival for us, surely. Awakening. A glorious time of refreshing. Let me speak of my own personal experience. I have lived in a dry time, and it's getting drier. A parched time, a dying time, a withering time, spiritually speaking, I mean, amongst the churches of Christ. It's a desert time, a deserted time, a sandy time. These are the words I would use to describe the experience. Now, I know that many would disagree with me. They think it's all going hunky-dory and things couldn't be better. But as I see the results of this, the marks of it, I see a carnality there that does not speak to me of the glorious awakening that I long to see. Oh, for repentance. Oh, for returning to Christ. Oh, for conviction and conversion. Oh, for the proper ordering of the assemblies of Christ, the ecclesia, over a return to the scriptures and a rejection of the ways of the world and the carnality and the fun and the pleasures that go on in the name of Christ. I don't want this shallow, superficial jollity, real spiritual awakening, real conviction of sin, real conversion to Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see. That's what I long to see. My own soul growing in grace and in the felt knowledge of Christ, the experience of it. Oh, that the dry, parched times may pass away, that God would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. Well, Elijah had done his part. He had taken a stand for God. He had tried to bring reformation. He'd preached, he taught, he'd witnessed. I think these are lessons for us today, brothers and sisters. We must go on making our stand, speaking for Christ. No doubt Elijah prayed for this. We must pray for God's blessing upon our labors. Only God can bring it. You see, the rain has to fall. Elijah doesn't go around working up rain or pretending there's rain. He has to rely upon God, and we shall see even more. He's announced rain now, but it's not yet here. He has to pray for it and look for it. This is a lesson for us today, my brothers and sisters. We are in a time of judgment. That's my view, at least where I'm living. And I definitely need rain individually. My own soul needs it to feel the refreshing showers of God. Oh, for showers of blessing. But the churches need it. Sinners need it. May God in wrath remember mercy. And remove our dry time and our parched time, and bring us such a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord that our ears will tingle with it. We should hardly be able to credit it. We should be like them that dream. We go sowing our seed, weeping, but we come again rejoicing, bearing our sheaves with us. May God bless this. Remember, I'm not a prophet. I'm not announcing this. This is what we need, though. Oh, that the heavens would be open and God would display his power, not in wrath, but in mercy. Not that we deserve it, I don't. But oh, that in mercy, sovereign mercy, gracious mercy, free, gracious, sovereign mercy, may God come back to us and open his hand again in blessing, not to smite, but to bless and to save. Rain, rain, that's what we need. May God grant us a season of refreshing, glorious, sweet, refreshing rain. By his Spirit, may it be so. Amen.